So the Lord be with you. This morning we bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us in worship today. So we celebrate the seventh or the last Sunday after Easter today. But also more importantly, we celebrate Mother's Day. And just like we did from the beginning, we recognize our mothers in worship today and thank God for all of you and for your task that He placed upon you in this world and how significant it is to creation. And it's the reason why we gather in worship today, recognizing this fact. Just to tell you a joke, a little girl went and hugged her mom on Mother's Day and said Happy Mother's Day to her mom. And while she was doing that, she realized that there were some gray hairs in her mom's hair. And she said, Mom, where did you get that from? Where did you get the gray hair from? And the mom said back to her, you know, the gray hair in my head came from you. Every time you upset me or say something bad to me, one of my hair strings gets gray. And so she pondered over that for a second and went and sat in the corner. And the mom says to her, oh, honey, don't feel bad about that. I'm not feeling bad about what you did to me. And the little girl looked at her and said, Mom, I'm not feeling bad because of what I did to you. I'm feeling bad because of what you did to Grandma. The tender love that God placed in our hearts or in the hearts of mothers for their children is so amazing. From the womb to the grave, that love continues and never ends. I've had the opportunity to speak to many single mothers. And every time you talk to them, they tell you about how difficult it is to raise children without the fathers. And you have many, many, many single mothers living in our time and age today who are raising their children without the fathers being there. And it's a very tedious task for mothers to do. And this is what makes them great, because the fact that they're always there with the children. I have had that opportunity, and it was blessed just talking to them. I even watched my own wife as she helped raise our children at home, and see the kind of difficulties that come with that, being a pastor and always at church talking to members and visiting with people and having meetings. And she's always there making sure that things are done. It is a very great task, you know. And then I watched my own mom. My mother, you know, would many days when my dad was gone for days, and she would, you know, find some means to find food and put on the table. And I watched her sit there with a glass of water in front of her while we ate. And we would ask her, Mommy, aren't you going to eat too? And she said, well, it's not enough. Once you all get full, I'm full. And the glass of water becomes her food for that day. That was amazing. But her love for us never stopped. Why it is true that on this day there are a few mixed feelings about the celebration of Mother's Day. And I'm saying mixed feelings because there are others with stories regarding abandonment and self or child abuse, or some who never had the opportunity to fully experience their mother's love. While we have these stories, we can on a larger scale agree that mothers, on the average, are amazing creation from God. I'm most certainly convinced this morning that Mary, the mother of Jesus, our Lord, if she was giving or was given the opportunity to stand in the place of her son and get on that cross and die, she would have taken the chance to do so. That's the extent to which a mother's love goes. We can see the amazing love of mothers for their children when we come to understand the amazing love our Lord Jesus has for His church. Jesus, as our Lord, went through pain and agony to bring us spiritual birth. So just like a mother goes through pain and agony to bring forth children into the world. And this is the reason why he uses in John 3, verse 3, this very same comparison, talking about new birth. And he says there, you must be born again, but this time being born of the Spirit. And the life of the Spirit is a life that comes only through Jesus Christ to us. So he brings that life. He gives us the new life that we have in God. So just like a caring mother would, today from our gospel reading, we see our Lord praying to our Heavenly Father for the well-being of all his children that has been that he has conceived spiritually. And just like Jesus is praying for his children, I snuck up many times on my mother, many times, praying for us during the day in her room. And I go there, she's kneeling by the bedside, and she's praying these prayers for us. And I go and kneel right next to her. Sometimes she doesn't even know I'm there. But listening to every word she's saying, and it just amazed me to see how much she cared about us, that she was praying for every detail of our lives and talking to God for her children. Jesus Christ this morning is talking to God, the Father, for his children, the ones that's been giving to him. Let's together see some of the things he's concerned about as he speak to speak to you this morning under the subject, like a caring mother, Jesus prays. Like a caring mother, Jesus prays. Yes, indeed, he prays like a caring mother because we are his children. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, he says, truly I tell you, unless you change. And the word change is talking about new life. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you change, and that change comes from him. It's a new birth that comes to us. And when that new birth comes to us, we become children of God. And so we are, as John describes us. We are children of God. So in this prayer, he prays for our dedication, or what we call perseverance, in this world. As it is read through John 17, verses 12 through 13. Our dedication to the new life he has given to us involves these things. First, he talks about in the prayer our security. Look in verse 12. He says, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. Here he is praying not for their temporary safety alone, but rather for the eternal safety is what Jesus Christ is praying for. He's praying about the eternal life that God is giving to them and to all of us as well, because this prayer was not only for the disciples who walked with him that time, but he says this prayer is not just for them, if you read through the prayer, but it is for those who will come after them, and that includes us as well. So Jesus is praying here in the prayer for our safety. And this safety has more like to do with us not being snatched away by the evil one, not being snatched away by the devil, but staying saved in the hands of the arms of sweet deliverance, who is he himself. So he prays this prayer. We know this because of how they were persecuted. The disciples were persecuted and or killed for his name's sake. And many of them were persecuted. So Jesus is not here talking about only, temporal safety or physical safety or earthly safety, but he's talking truly about the spiritual safety that we have that prevents the evil one from coming and snatching us away from him. It's what he's mainly talking about in this text. The old song, "My Soul Has Found a Resting Place," originally was written by the lady called Eliza E. Hewitt. And the chorus part of this song says something like this. It says, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. This songwriter writes that it is enough that Jesus died. May I submit to you today that Jesus is as concerned about our security today as he was when he prayed this prayer. He is still concerned about it. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that he is still interceding for us. He sits on the right hand of the Father, and he makes intercession for us. Jesus is still praying for the church. He is still talking to the Father about us. And the reason why he's doing it is because the devil is still as busy as he was from the very beginning of time, trying to deceive us and snatch us out of the hands of God. So Jesus is concerned about this. Inasmuch as the devil is going to continue his rage here on this earth, stealing and killing and destroying mankind, Jesus is going to continue in heaven, interceding for us and making sure that we are kept safely under the hands of God. This is so important to know that as we sit in church this morning, to know that as we go through circumstances in this life, to know that as the cares of this life overwhelms us, to know that our security in God is saved because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because of the cross of Calvary, because of his redeeming work on that cross, because of our baptism, we can now say this morning that we are saved in him. He didn't only pray for our security, but he prays for our satisfaction. Look in verse 13. He says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may know, they may have the full measure of my joy within them. He then prays for us to experience his joy in full measure, not in part, but in full measure. You see, he's not talking about a momentary happiness. He's not talking about the happiness that this world brings to us, not happiness which is dependent upon circumstances. It's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about how we get happy today and tomorrow we are sad because of some kind of news that we hear or because of some kind of circumstance that come in our lives. It is not what he's talking about. But the full measure of the joy of the Lord is that full measure that we receive that keeps us going on and on and on and on through difficult times, through trials, through temptation, through problems. We are still persevering through because the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. It is that joy that makes people to look at us and begin to question, how is it that this person keeps going on in the midst of the problems that they are facing, but yet they're still serving him, but yet they're still singing to him, yet they're still worshiping him, because something is happening on the inside of us that the world doesn't understand. The world can never understand it, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Give God a hand of praise this morning. Jesus says here in the text, he talks about a joy that is within them. A joy that is within them. Not an external joy, but a joy that is within them. When we look in the world today and see the changes and the trends that is happening in our world today, it causes one to sit and become very saddened by the choices that are being made by our world that we live in today, by our leaders, by people, by society. It saddens our hearts when we look at the true reason and meaning of life and look at the choices people are making today. It saddens the heart. But yet, in the midst of those sadness and in the midst of this confusion, we know that we have a joy that is within inside of us, a joy that cannot be taken away, a joy that makes us to sing in the midst of sadness. A joy that cannot be touched by the infirmities of this world, the circumstances of this world. We keep going on because of him. So he prayed for our security, he prays for our satisfaction, and then he prays for our sanctification. Look in verse 19 of the text. He says, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. The word sanctify carries the idea of being set apart for exclusive use. That's what it's talking. God is saying that I'm sanctifying them as they are in this world through me. What this text is telling you and I is that we have been set apart by God. And this is the reason why we refer to as children of God, because we have been set apart by God. You see, in my house, I have two china cupboards, and those cabinets carry special kind of silverwares in them. And we don't use them all of the time. They're set apart. They're set apart to be used at a particular time, and some of them might not even be used. I just love looking at them. You see, and that's exactly what it is with us and God. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through our baptism, God hath set us apart. And when he looks at us, he sees his precious jewel. All right? And this is who we are. And he has set us apart for a particular reason, for a particular time. And we are set apart in a world like this. And this is the reason why, being a people that have been set apart, God says to us, let your light shine in the world, so that man will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Folks, we've been set apart for a particular and a very specific task. And last thing he prayed about, next thing in this text, is the unification of the church. That's what's spoken about this morning. And under this, he prayed that our unification is something that's going to keep us together in oneness. And he prays that we will not be disunified by any means. The description he gave in the text in verse 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. We are one in the Lord, the scripture tells us. The commonality of our faith is unity in Christ. And our vision statement states that, and it's the reason why we say this at every worship service. We are called by Christ, unified by the Holy Spirit, to grow disciples, to spread the gospel. It is in Christ, with the many differences, the many preferences we have in this life, yet we are able to come together like this on a Sunday morning like this and worship this one risen Savior, laying aside our differences, but coming together in unity and serving our God. Descriptions of this oneness is seen throughout Scripture. It's shown in many parts of the Scripture. An example of that is Jesus talking about the vine and the branches. He talks about him being the head of the church and we being the body of Christ, the body of Christ, and so on and so forth. That's who the church is. We are one in Christ. And Jesus is praying for that oneness to continue on with us. So as we celebrate Mother's Day today, it is my prayer that we see our Lord Jesus as we see a caring mother who seeks the best for her children. She seeks the best for us. He seeks the best for us. He prays for us. He prays for our security. He prays for our satisfaction. He prays for our sanctification. And this morning, so as we celebrate, we see Jesus as our caring parent, who is very much concerned about us. He died on that cross for our sins. Not only that, but he is praying for us, even now. I pray that these words from God this morning encourage your heart and keep you steadfast in your faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen.